Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Sing out.
Let it rain. Let it rain.
You are live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. This is Pastor Lou of Maryland Altar, broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the very capital of the United States of America. This evening's segment is a blockbuster for the Church in the United States of America. We will share the prophetic revelation at the Kakamega, Kenya, 2012 revival, where the Lord was speaking to the United States of America and rebuking sin, sexual sin, and specifically homosexual sin and homosexuality. In the United States of America, we have reached a point of depravity, such a level now that we're actually exporting immorality at the highest offices in the land. We're also seeing homosexuality supported locally, right here in the city, at the cathedral as an example, where homosexual marriages can take place. Here in the state of Maryland, we were one of the first states in the Union, actually the very first state, what it was called and known as the Free State, where slavery was outlawed. We also had one of the first states to defend marriage against homosexuality and same-sex marriage. And within less than 10 years, the state of Maryland did a 180, turned away from the Lord, and became one of the first states to legalize homosexual marriage, which, of course, there really is no such thing, but decided to sanction the sin by the state. Truly dramatic times, and it's no wonder or coincidence in the Lord that he would speak to our nation at just such a time. It's important, critically important, to see how the Lord sees sexual sin, and specifically homosexual sin. There's large platforms and voices in the world, and we hear from an LGBT community, as an example, in the alternative lifestyle community. And we have a number of names and euphemisms to whitewash sin and to cloak bondage and slavery under another term, as in alternative lifestyle. It's important that we stay rooted and grounded in the Word of the Lord, and let's see what the Lord says about homosexuality. And we'll start this evening. One scripture will begin in Genesis chapter 18, verses, just one verse, actually 20 to 21. This is Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse 20 to 21. I'm going to lay a solid foundation, step by step, so there can be no mistake how the Lord sees sexual sin, and specifically homosexual sin. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. That's Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 21. And the Lord in his word is a magnificent author, and of course he would be. He is the Lord. We will see the consistency of how the Lord sees sexual sin cover to cover, specifically homosexual sin, throughout the Bible. For the righteousness and holiness of the Lord, he changes not. And so that there's no confusion, we'll see immediately from Genesis through Revelation how the Lord sees sexual sin. Let's briefly go to Revelation chapter 22, and we'll start at verse 12. This is Revelation chapter 22. We'll start at verse 12. Target scripture is verse 15. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Verse 15, our target scripture. But outside are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and adulterers and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. Mighty, mighty. How the Lord sees the sexually immoral and homosexual sin, they do not enter into the kingdom of God. They are outside with the dogs and the sorcerers, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. And we know that an alternative lifestyle, the LGBT-friendly churches, the LGBT lifestyle, is a lifestyle of lies. Genesis 18, chapter 18, verses 20 through 21, lays the groundwork of the outcry that came to the ears of the Lord from the unrighteousness and sin in the land of Sodom. We pick up the narrative again in Genesis chapter 19, just a foundation how the Lord sees sexual sin, and specifically homosexual sin. And then I'll share what the Lord showed and said to the land of the United States of America concerning homosexuality and the horrific vision that he gave concerning the judgment, horrific judgment for homosexual sin. Genesis chapter 19, and we'll start at verse 1 to get a background on the narrative. Target scripture is verse 4. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly. So they turned in to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Verse 4, we find out why it is the angels wanted to spend the night in the open square. Target scripture. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." This is the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, the city of Sodom. It is the root word for sodomite, and where we get the word sodomy from. It is a homosexuality outright that we see, as the men of Sodom want to lay with the angels that they believe are men. Later in the narrative, we see that the sexual crazed homosexuals, and we'll find this again also consistent throughout the scripture, where they lose control of their life and lose control of any self-control whatsoever. And we see what the Lord does and what sin, sexual sin, specifically homosexual sin, creates. Verse 6, so Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And so Lot understood the reason they were there. Likely understood as well that the Sodomites had no interest at all in his daughters. But the men of Sodom said, "Stand back. This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting like a judge." Here they're referring to Lot. "Now we will deal worse with you than with them." That's a horrific scripture of the condition, the heart condition of the homosexually crazed Sodomites in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands, the angels that is, and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. This is Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 9, a very detailed account when sexual sin, and specifically homosexual sin, runs rampant in a city. And we can see the sin of anger and destruction and rebellion and all manner of harmful things that have developed from the root sin and the carnal nature that has run wild in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. And if the listener is wondering why it is in the United States of America It's as though the society here, even in the church, a money-loving church, where the prosperity gospel from the pit of hell is being preached, why it is that it seems as though there is clawing and scratching and anger and cannibalism running amok. This is a root. Sexual sin, and specifically homosexual sin, devours those that practice it. And also, as we see clearly in Genesis, devours the society in which it lives, and even the visitors that come to it. And here we have angelic visitors that they wanted to devour. And finally, they wanted to devour Lot himself. And Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a righteous man, we find in the story. He is at the gate of the city. And this is where the righteous and the judges and the leaders of the city resided, at the gates. And this is just one of the fallout from sexual sin, and specifically homosexual sin. We sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind, and we can see the whirlwind in Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. The rest of the narrative, the Lord destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's see what the Lord says again about sexual sin, specifically homosexual sin, in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22. Let's just read specifically verse 24. Excuse me, verse 22. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. And actually we'll read up to 26. Do not have sexual relationships with a man, as one does with the woman. That is detestable. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Do not have sexual relations with a man, as one does with a woman. That is detestable. The Lord finds homosexuality, homosexual sin, detestable. How detestable? We found in Genesis chapter 19, he rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah for just such sins. We get additional detail in Ezekiel chapter 16, the background of Sodom and Gomorrah, where she was well-fed, prosperous, at ease and lazy, and began to be reduced to an animal, and reduced to homosexual sin, had compromised, and hence destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. The Lord finds homosexual sin detestable. We saw in Revelation chapter 22, the Lord says the sexually immoral, which is homosexual sin as well, will not enter into the kingdom of God, likened unto the sorcerers, murderers, adulterers, and the dogs. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. How does the Lord see homosexual sin? If a man lies with the man, as if he were a woman, both men have committed an offense, something perverse, unnatural, abhorrent, and detestable. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. The Amplified Version, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Let's read New King James Version, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. And here again, the foundation, how does the Lord see homosexual sin, LGBT lifestyle, alternative lifestyle? How does the Lord see homosexual sin? If a man lies with a male, as he lies with the woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That's Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. We find in the New Testament many more references to homosexual sin and how the Lord sees homosexual sin, homosexuality, and sexuality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just one verse, verse 9. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. New King James Version, we will see that the Lord, he changes not, for his righteousness remains, and his holiness remains. For our Lord God Almighty, he is holy, and he is righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. In the Amplified, it reads, "Do you not know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, misled. Neither the impure and immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who participate in homosexuality." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. The Lord says the homosexuals, those that are practicing homosexuality, LGBT, and all manner of sexual perversion, do not enter into the kingdom of God. In Genesis chapter 19, we see that the Lord rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah for just such abominations that Lot was well aware of. We find later on in Scripture as well that Lot was vexed daily from the immorality in the land. In the United States of America, the church has been deceived. Many have been deceived into thinking that as the society changes and culture changes and we can change rules going forward with no regard at all for the law of the Lord, and forgot that the righteousness of our Lord changes not. And we forgot that the holiness of the Lord changes not. But here's the crux of the segment this evening at the prophecy at the midnight hour. The church is misunderstood entirely and has been deceived. It failed to understand that the consequences of homosexual sin are absolutely devastating, both in the immediate present, and we could go on and on about what the addictive sexual behavior does to the homosexual. And if they were honest, they would share with you that it's horrific bondage that they cannot break out of, and that they continue to get driven to higher and higher levels of bondage and stimulation, or lower levels, depending on your perspective. We have forgotten that not only are the consequences here today, but also to those around and the families and the abominations that we see where homosexuals are adopting children, so that it's possible, and it is happening today, a daughter will have two fathers, or a daughter will have two mothers, a son will have two fathers, or a son will have two mothers. And we might say, oh, isn't that cool? Isn't that innovative? Isn't that civil? And I have no idea and if they do, they're too selfish to understand and too blinded by sin. The damage is created to the little ones that are around and completely confused, for they know that when they see homosexuality and homosexually sanctioned relationships, that it's clear something is very wrong. And those children are in great anguish and grow up in great anguish. But even more than the children and the fallout that's local and the fallout that's in society and the fallout that we see in the moral decay is the eternal judgment of the Lord. And I will share in this segment a prophetic revelation and a very brief vision of the Lord, of the wrath of the Lord, to warn all those that are in the LGBT community. Maybe it's an LGBT tolerant church, maybe it's just an outright LGBT church, and maybe you're a homosexual that's picked this up and wondering who's the wild man preaching righteousness and holiness. I'll share a warning from the Lord, and for that's why he sent me 8,000 miles away to an end-time revival meeting to be rebuked for a sin, homosexual sin, that was as far from foreign to me as could possibly be. Yet I stood for the nation, and when the Lord called out the sin of the United States of America, he did specifically call out homosexual sin. And we'll get to that very briefly. So we see in Leviticus chapter 18:22, the Lord says, do not have sexual relations with the man as one does with the woman. That is detestable. And we read again in Leviticus chapter 20. We read also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And let's see what happens very briefly. As we read through and shared some details, what happens when homosexual sin gets a foothold, and what happens to the human being, and what happens to the homosexual. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 28. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 28. If there is one scripture and one set of verses to keep in mind with homosexuality and homosexual sin, LGBT community, what it does to a nation, and has absolutely devastated the United States of America, sexual sin and homosexuality. This is the scripture to use as the reference, because here we actually receive from the Lord through the mighty Apostle Paul the progression of sexual sin and homosexual sin, homosexuality, the progression, the bondage, the end result, the fruits of the sin, the utter agony and bondage. Start at verse 22. New King James Version, Romans chapter 1. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. We could stop there and say yes. Every homosexual would admit to that if they were honest, and the shame and the dishonor. And it goes on. The Lord continues, verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. That's verse 25, and as we see, this is all too common in homosexuality. We see it today, in fact, on the news when we have executive leaders traveling the globe telling other countries to worship each other's men, and homosexuality become enslaved to sexual sin. And so we have those worshiping the creature, that is the man or the woman, rather than the Creator, the Lord, who is blessed forever. The bondage of sexual sin, specifically homosexual sin, and the idolatry and the horrific addiction that it creates, has men lusting after other men as though they were idols. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, homosexuality in women, or lesbianism, as we say today. Likewise, also the men, leaving natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error was due. Verse 27, here again, they burned in their lust one for another. But back to the idolatry, beginning worshiping man and worshiping flesh. This is the horrific bondage of homosexual sin in the LGBT community that they don't share. But if they were honest, they would say, oh, I'd love to be set free from the horrific slavery that drives them from partner to partner and abomination to abomination. For they burn in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful. So the spirit of shame is heavy upon them, and they're aware of that. And the Lord tells us clearly, and they receive in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. This is why Scripture is clear. When the Lord is clear, all other sin is committed outside of the body, but sexual sin is committed against the body. And here we see the shame, the lust, and receiving in themselves the penalty and the bondage of their error. NIV reads, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. For don't we know it, that all men and women are made to worship. And if we are not worshiping the Lord, we will worship created things. And the homosexuals will worship homosexuality. And they will worship men. And we see it all the time in the worship of money and the worship of fame and adulation. And it's clear they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. And the Lord has made us in such a way that we are to praise Him and worship the Lord. For if we don't, we will fall into all sorts of depravity and bondage and sin and begin worshiping idols in this case, one another in sexual sin and in homosexuality and homosexual sin. And we see that all around us today in the United States. And it's become a rallying cry. And it's become an idol of worship. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. This is powerful, and the Lord gives us the progression. When we step out of righteousness and holiness with the Lord, begin to compromise with the world, begin to enter into sexual sin and homosexual sin, then the shameful acts and the penalty that is due and the shame and the bondage follows thereafter. But don't we know all too well that Satan is a horrific taskmaster? And if we no longer worship the Creator, but worship the created, the sexual sin bondage is horrific. That's Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 28. Very powerful. New Testament, also 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. We also covered Leviticus 20, 13, Leviticus 18, 22, Genesis 19, Revelation 22, Genesis 18. Fine, let's wrap up with Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And this is right along the same theme, the same thread. For our Lord changes not, his righteousness and holiness changes not. Who is entering the kingdom of God and who is not? And then we'll share the prophetic revelation from Kakamega, Kenya. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the doings and practices of the flesh are clear and obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, divisions, factions, sex with peculiar opinions and heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 is clear. Homosexuality, those that practice homosexuality, if they do not repent, will not inherit the kingdom of God. We read this again in Romans chapter 1, verse 22. The Lord was consistent again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Of course, we have the Lord's word himself, Matthew 5, 28, that to lust and look upon another with lust in your heart is sexual sin. And in that case, the Lord was specifically speaking of adultery, of a man lusting after a woman. But don't we know all the time that men will oftentimes lust after men? And even though they're not practicing homosexuality, they are lusting after other men. And the standards of the Lord are even higher in the New Testament than the law of the Old Testament. The standards are higher. We have the mighty Holy Spirit and the blood of the Lamb to overcome sin. The blood, the cross, and Calvary is the power of deliverance. It's the power to change lives. It's the power to change destiny forever, lives forever, and families forever. To translate a homosexual in utter bondage and despair into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of our living God Almighty, into the kingdom of righteousness and holiness. That's the power of the blood and the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is it then that it looks like the church needs another deliverer? Why is it then that it looks like the church is worshiping another Christ? For surely she is. For the Lord of the Bible, he changes lives. He sets the prisoners free. He even said he came to proclaim the good news and set the prisoners free, quoting directly from Isaiah. The scriptures are a good foundation. We have a good foundation now for the prophetic revelation. We shared in the last segment, or the last two segments, and what I saw as the mighty prophet traveled and took a number of international pastors through Kenya ministering in at the end time revival. That was the Ministry of Holiness and Repentance, which is led by the mighty prophet, Dr. David Owuor, who ministers internationally. I traveled there back in September 2012 as a pastor from the United States of America. And as the Lord would have it, I was the only pastor from the United States of America. And because of that, I had the honor, as the Lord saw fit, to go to the altar of the Lord during the revival and had a chance for the prophet to speak to me, which was actually speaking to the United States of America, being that I was the lone pastor representing the church and the nation there at the end time revival. And as I know, there have been other end time revival meetings, mighty powerful meetings of the Lord, and other pastors from the United States have been there. We've oftentimes had more than just a few, not many, but even families have been at the mighty revivals of the Lord. But in this specific one in Kenya, Kakamega, 2012, where the miracles of the Lord were mighty, there were well over a million in attendance within, and there was well over a million without in the city of Kakamega, Kenya, that were participating in the end-time revival. There were international cameras and local media as well. The DVDs from the revival meeting we give away free at the ministry, and many of them are available on YouTube also for free. You can just go to YouTube, go to the Repentance channel, and type in Kakamega as an example, a 2012 revival, and many of the videos will come up, and they're free for viewing too. If you want the DVDs for your church or for other support and ministry, we give them away free all the time, and all you have to do is write Pastor Lou at Highway of Holiness. It's just lou@highwayofholiness.us. You can go to the webpage, highwayofholiness.us, and you'll see a link there for free DVDs. Just send me an email, and we send them out all the time, and we've sent them out nationally as well as internationally. And for those that have YouTube and good internet connections, you can just download them right there at YouTube. So as this Kakamega Kenya revival of the Lord is going on, will continue, and the Lord brought me to the altar of the Lord, and the mighty prophet, Dr. David Owuor, was speaking to the United States of America. And the reason I mention the DVDs and the videos, because you can actually see this and hear this for yourself, the testimony and what I'm sharing with you. And you will see that he begins speaking about the good things that the United States has done internationally, that the United States is a very philanthropic nation. And it's true, the United States has given much, both in the ministry and also in the secular world, and he had mentioned some of the pneumonia medicine. I believe that was from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation as an example. I'm not certain of that, but pretty close. And mentioned a few other items as well. And then began to rebuke the sin of homosexuality in the United States of America. And as I was standing there in front of the mighty prophet, a vision from the Lord, very brief, the Lord opened my eyes and understand that homosexual sin, to be speaking to someone who doesn't or even remotely participate, it's always a bit of a shock. It would be kind of like, I don't know how to liken it. It's sort of like, you know, being an Italian and being accused of, you know, maybe coming from Asia or somewhere. I don't know. It's really hard to describe the shock and trying to relate what the Lord was saying versus where I was standing. And so I had to understand that he was speaking to the nation and not to me personally. And that was a bit startling because obviously that wasn't expected, even though he shared that with each and every single pastor. I would have thought it would have at least gone after a sin that was, you know, native or, you know, remotely familiar to me. But homosexuality was so far out that I was very startled. And what I saw next was a vision from the Lord where wrath, thick black smoke, and fire, a consuming fire from a seemingly endless pit. The wrath of the Lord at the rebuke of homosexual sin. And he opened my eyes, and I saw a furnace like a blowtorch and flames that were thick and black. There were some flickers of orange, but they gave no light at all. It was endless wrath and punishment. It was clear that it was endless wrath and punishment. And it was very clear that the Lord is very angry with the United States for homosexuality and homosexual sin. Now we see in the scriptures that's very consistent. From Genesis to Revelation, homosexuality and homosexual sin is an abomination. From Genesis to Revelation, those that do homosexuality and homosexual sin, and don't repent, don't enter into the kingdom of God. That means they enter hell. But what I wanted to share, we gave the foundation all throughout the very first 40, 45 minutes of this segment, to lay that foundation, to share with you that the furnace, like a blowtorch, is no joke. It's not a fire and brimstone of theatrics. It's not a furnace like a blowtorch, as in a manufactured fiction, because we're not raising money here, and we're not preaching the money here. We're preaching the truth in the end time gospel, the coming of our Messiah, the righteousness and holiness of the Lord. This is no joke, no game, no political platform at all. The homosexuals, the LGBT community, and the alternative lifestyle community in the United States needs to know what I saw at point blank range. And I have to tell you that for the first time in my life, after having been in the hospital and woken up with needles all over in my body, and having been in some horrific conditions before and places that were unexpected before, I have to tell you, never before have I been anywhere I didn't want to be more than when I was there in front of the mighty prophet with the vision of the Lord. That furnace that was wider and deeper than a blowtorch of wrath against homosexual and homosexuality, homosexual sin. The Lord's not fooling around. It's no joke. It's very serious. Those that are practicing in homosexual sin, those that are compromising with it, the churches that are placating it, those that are preaching it as an alternative lifestyle, they're ascending souls that will face the wrath of the Lord, and a wrath that is unimaginable. A endless pit of thick black smoke with flickers of orange licking flames that give no light. It was endless wrath and punishment. It was the vision of the Lord. Pastor Lou does not get those very often at all. I am no prophet. I was standing before the prophet of the Lord, so I shouldn't be surprised that the mighty Holy Spirit would manifest and communicate as such. This is the word of the Lord. It's in the Bible. We see the wrath of the Lord that is coming upon the earth. We see the wrath of the Lord against homosexual sin, Sodom and Gomorrah, where he rained fire and brimstone. And I had the experience to stand in for and see the wrath of the Lord to communicate to the United States, coast to coast and border to border, and to the homosexuals that are out there practicing, not repenting, to the LGBT communities and tolerant churches that are practicing sexual sin and homosexuality. The wrath of the Lord against the sin is real. It is an endless furnace. An endless blowtorch. It is anger and wrath that is promised in the word of the Lord that we see throughout Genesis up to Revelation. And so the church has been lied to, and she's lied to the sheep throughout the United States. She's even taught our political leaders to go out and teach tolerance to sexual sin. In other words, what she's saying is, don't believe in the wrath of the Lord. But the Lord is saying something else, because he's consistent from Genesis to Revelation. Those that do such things and don't repent will enter into wrath and will not enter into the kingdom of God. And I know those that I'll make light and say, well, I'll just have to rule in hell then, or I'll just have to be somebody there then, and they're still in rebellion. And I wish I could communicate to you where you're really going. I wish I could communicate better that blowtorch like blow furnace wrath, that endless pit of thick and black smoke, burning furnace with flickers of orange flame, flame that doesn't give light, endless wrath and punishment. Obviously, I didn't want to see that, but the Lord showed it. I didn't want to be there at that point in time. No, I didn't. I would have preferred to have been anywhere else. To say I was startled, shocked, and amazed is an understatement. I did not share with anyone for many, many days afterwards, maybe even weeks afterwards. So startled was I by the vision and the fire of the Lord against homosexuality and homosexual sin. This is the real deal. It's in the Bible. And this is the Lord sharing with the saints, sharing with those churches that have compromised the word, what it is you're really doing, where you're really sending the sheep. You're sending them into wrath, into hell. If the sheep do not repent, if those that are practicing homosexuality and homosexual sin do not repent, they are facing everlasting wrath. Unbelievable, unimaginable wrath that I'm having a hard time communicating. I pray the Spirit of the Lord, the mighty Holy Spirit, and open your spiritual ears and open your spiritual eyes. You would see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your heart, and turn unto the Lord and be converted and be saved. For it's the power of the blood and the cross to transform lives, that one can go from a child of bondage and sin to a child of light, a child of the Lord, a child of the King of Kings and the Kingdom of God. For the Lord God Almighty is a respecter of no person. So let's pray. Mighty God, Sovereign Lord, we thank you for sharing your word. We thank you for the blood and the cross. And now, Sovereign Lord, we lift up those that are practicing in homosexuality and in bondage. And if you're driving along and you're listening at home, pray this prayer. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. We repent in Jesus' mighty name of all our sins and promise to not ever do them willingly again. Wash us by the blood of the Lamb. Save us from the wrath that is to come. And fill us, mighty Holy Spirit, with your Spirit. We would walk with you, Lord, in righteousness and holiness, and humbly and meekly. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, well able to cover our sins. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Share this with a child and a Bible and a godly fellowship. Ordinarily, you will hear ministers say, find a church, and that's getting more and more difficult throughout the land of the United States of America. It can start with a godly fellowship. If you're in homosexual sin and now delivered, require support groups too, and there are support groups, accountability groups that one can seek out that are godly also for support. Do not be shy or humble about calling upon the mighty Holy Spirit, for he is the comforter, he is the counselor, he is the one that teaches, he is the one that enables us to overcome sin as we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And until the next segment, as the Lord leads, God bless you. Shalom. Shalom.